Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we open the Gospel of Saint John to the 8th chapter, where we read, Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say, You will be made free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The Son continues forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And Lord, you are the truth, and you have given us the truth that you are. That truth that the Father has given to you, so that you can pass it on to us. And that truth truly makes us free. If we think of someone who is lost in the bush, has no idea how to get out, and someone comes along and he asks, Please, how do I get out of here? And they say, Go any way you want. You're free. And he says, I'm not free. I'm a slave to my ignorance. Which is the way? Please tell me. And they tell him that just 200 meters over that way is a road, and he will get out. He is so grateful. They have shown him the truth about the way to safety, and it sets him free from ignorance. And Lord, you are the truth, and you have taught us the truth. You have shown us the way to heaven, which is our goal, which is all we want in life, to know, love, and serve you on earth in order to be happy with you forever in heaven. And you are that way, and the truth, and the life of God. We thank you for revealing the truth to us, for passing it on to us through the church, because that truth truly sets us free. And some today would question whether there is such a thing as objective truth. They will say, Oh, that's your truth, that's your belief. I believe something else. And we know there is truth about everything. That object is a chair. That other one is a table. That is a tree. That is a cat, not a dog. That is a planet. That other object is a star. Things are what they are. There is truth about them. And there is truth about our moral life, too. Just as there is truth about our physical life, and if we get too cold, we can get pneumonia. If we drink too much alcohol, we will have many problems in our system. If we eat too much junk food or sweets, we will have physical repercussions. So there are truths about our moral life. Certain forms of activity, certain forms of behavior are in keeping with our human nature and conducive to our flourishing. and others are harmful. Telling lies is harmful to the trust that people might have had for us before, and now they can't trust us. Stealing is harmful again to protection of people's property and the right to their property and the trust that they can have in others who might be inclined to steal. Every form of immorality harms the person, harms that person's ability to relate to others. And so there are certain forms of conduct that are simply wrong because they are not in keeping with what is good for man. Just as there are certain foods that are harmful to our nature. And Lord, again, we thank you for revealing the truth to us, and we ask you, help us to learn that truth that you are. The Second Vatican Council, in the Declaration on Religious Freedom, says, "It is in accordance with their dignity that all men, because they are persons, that is, beings endowed with reason and free will, and therefore bearing personal responsibility, are both impelled by their nature and bound by a moral obligation to seek the truth, especially religious truth. They are also bound to adhere to the truth once they come to know it and direct their whole lives in accordance with the demands of truth." And the Council says that we are, as beings endowed with reason, impelled by our nature to seek the truth. Because the intellect, by its very nature, seeks truth. We see this in children who ask questions like, why is the sky blue? Why does the bird make its nest that way? Where do babies come from? And adults are seeking the truth, especially the truth about our own life. Is there meaning to life? Is this form of conduct acceptable or not? Is there life after death? Is there a God? Is there a heaven and a hell? Our nature seeks truth. But, as the Council says, we are also bound by a moral obligation to seek the truth, especially religious truth. And man does want to seek religious truth. He does want to know whether there's a meaning to life, whether there is a God, whether there is life after death, and all of these are so related to religious truth. And we don't make the truth as we like it. We discover the truth that is there in reality. There is truth in those objects that we mentioned before, in a cat, in a tree, in a chair. We can't change that. We can't say the cat is not a cat, it is. We don't make the truth. We discover the truth, and we hold to the truth that we have discovered, or better, the truth holds to us. Pope Benedict XVI, in a homily in Castel Gandolfo in September 2012, said, "If we read today, for example, in the letter of James, 'You were generated through a word of truth,' which of us would dare to rejoice in the truth which has been given to us?" The question arises immediately, but how can one have the truth? This is intolerance. Today, the idea of truth and of intolerance are almost completely fused together, and thus we no longer quite dare to believe in truth or to speak of truth. We understand what the Pope is saying. Someone that claims to have the truth is called intolerant, as if he possessed something and he was imposing it on others, and others were wrong because he is right. Well, in so many ways, that is the case. We go on with Pope Benedict. The truth seems to be far away. It seems to be something to which it is best not to take recourse. No one can say, I have the truth. This is the obedience that moves us, and rightly so. No one can have the truth. It is truth that possesses us. It is something living. We are not its possessors. Rather, we are gripped by it. Only if we let ourselves be guided and moved by it, we remain in it. Only if we are with it and in it, pilgrims of the truth, then it is in us and for us. I think that we have to learn again this not having the truth, as no one can say, I have children. They are not a possession of ours. They are a gift, and as gift of God, they are given to us for a task. So we cannot say, I have the truth. But truth has come to us and drives us. We must learn to be moved by it, to be led by it, and then it will shine again if it itself leads us and penetrates us. Beautiful words from Pope Benedict, and how true that is. And Lord, we thank you for being the truth, for revealing the truth to us, and that truth possesses us. You possess us. The truth itself possesses us. And help us to be led by it, guided by it, live in accordance with it. Because then we find that true flourishing of our human nature. We find the good, and we find happiness. And you have revealed the truth to us in the Old Testament and in the New to make more firm the truth that we could already discover by our nature. Truly, man reflecting on human nature could discover what is the natural law, those basic truths of morality that are accessible to reason, that lying is wrong, that stealing is wrong, that killing the innocent is wrong. But you did us the favor of revealing those truths to Moses in the Ten Commandments. So, as the First Vatican Council says, these truths can be known easily by all with firm certitude and no mixture of error. And since you have revealed them to us, you who are truth, we are absolutely certain that they are right. And St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa Theologiae says, a person with scant learning is far surer of something he hears from an expert than he is of any insight of his own. Thus, anyone is far surer of what he hears from God, who is infallible, than of what he sees with his own fallible reason. But Lord, help us to take that on board. And when the Church teaches something, and we have questions about it, that we reason that God has revealed this to us through his Church, and that God cannot err, the Church cannot err, I can err. And help me to trust the Church rather than my own fallible reason, if ever that should happen. And Lord, as we say, you are the truth. You know everything. You created everything. Through you, St. John writes in the prologue of his Gospel, all things came to be. And without you, that is the Logos, the Word, nothing has come to be. That is, in being. And having created this universe, having created man in your image and likeness, you know the truth about man, the truth about the world. And we come to you to discover that truth. You sent the Holy Spirit into the Church to lead the apostles and the Church into all truth, as you say in the Last Supper. And for those who today doubt that there is truth about God, about man, about morality, and even about reality outside of man, we come back to St. Paul, who in his own day discovered a similar attitude. And he writes about it to the Romans, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men, who by their wickedness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. Ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made." And St. Paul is speaking about man discovering God through creation. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. And so St. Paul goes on, "So they are without excuse, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man or birds or animals or reptiles." These wise people of St. Paul's day, the same as the wise of today who deny that there is a God, and they worship idols, they worship man, they worship money or success. And St. Paul goes on, "Therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." And Lord, we see how true what St. Paul is writing 2,000 years ago is, how applicable to modern man who does not want to submit to the truth that will possess him and fill him with life and love and meaning and happiness. He doesn't want to submit to the truth. He wants to make his own truth. He wants to be his own truth. And then God abandons them to all that immorality. And we see it around us too. What can we do to know the truth and live by it? First, to do all we can to come to learn it. There is truth, especially about those spiritual, religious matters that are so important for us. We will study science, we will study history, we will study geography and economics, and we don't have questions about the truths that we learn there. But when it comes to God and our spiritual life, so many question it. And therefore, we should make a greater effort to learn that truth so that we can know it and live by it and pass it on. And where do we come to know it? In, amongst other ways, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. That marvelous compendium of Catholic teaching put together by the Vatican, promulgated by St. John Paul II in 1992. We have in one book all of those basic truths of our faith. If we spend a little bit of time each day reading the Catechism, we come to know it well. And then knowing the truth, to live by it. And if we learn that certain forms of conduct are wrong, that they are always sinful or even mortally sinful, we make an effort to live in accordance with that. And if we fail, and we will, we go back to confession to restore our soul to grace if we have lost the state of grace, to increase that grace, to increase the love of God, so that we can be truly ambassadors of Christ in this world, to be amongst those relatively few who try hard to live in accordance with the gospel and to know the truth about ourselves. Am I living truly as a son or daughter of God? Or am I living for myself? Am I trying to convince myself that something I am doing is acceptable when deep down I know it is not? And if we examine our conscience well each day and face the truth and admit that maybe we were lazy or we were selfish or proud or vain or arrogant or impure in our thoughts or in our actions, to accept the truth about ourselves, then the truth sets us free and we can improve, we can struggle harder. And that we listen to the truth that others tell us about ourselves. It might be someone in our family that points out something. It might be a friend. And that we have that spiritual direction through confession or independently of confession, and that we listen to that person who is guiding us. We, after all, have sought out the help of that person. Now that we listen, and if they are trying to tell us that we are lazy or selfish, that is a truth that they perceive in us. And Lord, help us to follow it. Just as we can see the defects in others very clearly, they can see them in us. And we don't see the defects in ourselves nearly as clearly as we see them in others. And therefore, we should trust the judgment of others who love us and are trying to help us, so that we live by this truth that sets us free. And then if the truth is attacked, and at times it will be in conversations in our workplace, amongst our friends, in our place of study, that knowing the truth more because we have learned it, we try to defend it. There may be occasions, truly, when we are overwhelmed in numbers by others, or they are more intelligent, and to try to defend the truth may not result in shedding any light. And perhaps then we just keep silent and pray. But that will be the exception. More often, we will be able to say something, at least to show that we disagree, or that what they have said about the Pope or the Church we find personally offensive, because we are a Catholic. And we remember the way the martyrs of the early Church and in present times defended the truth. Saint Jerome writes, "God's triumph is the sufferings the martyrs undergo in Christ's battle, the shedding of their blood, and their joy in the midst of tribulation. For when a person sees the way martyrs are made to suffer, and how steadfastly they hold their ground, and how they glory in their suffering, the aroma of knowledge of God is spread among the Gentiles, and they begin to realize that if the gospel were not true, no one would defend it at such cost." And why do we defend the gospel and the teachings of the Church? For the same reason, because they are true, because they lead to life. And we would like all those people with whom we are talking to find this truth, because the truth will set them free. How important it is to know the truth, to live by the truth, to be grateful for having the truth, to defend the truth, and always to pass it on to others. Parents do that with their children. We can all do it with our friends and acquaintances and relatives. And when we have discovered some truth in another area, such as a good book, a good film, a good new car, we share it. We want others to benefit as we have benefited. But the most important gift we have is the truth that God has given us. And we want others to share that especially, because this is the truth that sets them free, the truth that leads to life. and how blessed we are, how happy we are when we have shared some element of the truth with someone who did not know it, and how grateful they are that we have passed it on to them. And we go to St. Paul, who writes to Timothy at the end of his life. He is in his second imprisonment in Rome, and he knows that his life is coming to an end. He writes, "Preach the word, be urgent in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, and exhort, be unfailing in patience and in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. As for you, always be steady, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And again, how true what St. Paul is saying to Timothy, how relevant it is to our own day. People do not endure sound teaching, but with itching ears, they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own likings. They wander away from the truth into myths. And Lord, again, thank you for giving me, giving us the truth. Help us to learn it more so that we can live by it and pass it on to many around us. The truth then truly liberates. It sets us free. And we go to Mary, our mother. Mary, you brought the truth into the world when you said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word." The truth became flesh in your womb. You taught us by giving us the very word of God. Help us to accept that word, to live by it, to pass it on to many. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.